anything at all as to what might be taking, going to take place as far as?
No, we knew that there were going to be some heavy showers and some strong winds. We put out a wind warning at 12 o'clock for gusts around 50. But we didn't expect any tornado, and we didn't forecast any tornado.
Is it pretty well impossible to forecast a tornado in this country that way? Do they occur too suddenly to?
Well, we don't really have the ideal setup for tornadoes in this country. There are a few, and most of them are kind of associated with severe thunderstorms. And it seems like many of them have been east of the Cascades, you know. So we aren't in a very good position to forecast tornadoes in this country. And of course, to be exact on where a tornado is, they don't forecast anyway. Even in tornado country, they just set up an area that's susceptible, you know.
Well, they issued tornado warnings or something. We were driving through Nebraska here a couple of years ago, and we heard this over the radio, you know, and we didn't know what to do. We'd never been in them.
And a few may occur, you know. One or more tornadoes may develop in that area that they issued a warning for, but they may not hit anything, you know. And they don't know exactly where, but within, they maybe have a 50-mile block or something, you know.
Well, now, was it a tornado by the time it hit this area right here before it jumped the river?
No.
Or was it just high winds?
Well, I don't know. I think the tornado may have developed near the river and went across.
Would the river be a contributing factor at all, or the open area of the airport? Would that have been a
I wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think so. Why do they occur in open country then, like in the Midwest? You generally get tornadoes in plains country. At least this is what you associate with.
Well, most of the plains country is open to begin with.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason, you know. I don't know if there's any.
You don't consider that a contributing factor then, as far as what causes a tornado?
No. Sometimes they say that tornadoes follow little river valleys or land contours, you know. And this may be just the way the land, the contour of the land kind of guides the wind, or would guide a path a little bit.
Do you feel that these things are on the increase in this country, or do you feel that it's just better reporting or better communications now? I'm talking about the Pacific Northwest when I say this country.
I don't know if they're on the increase. I wouldn't say so. I think this is probably the most severe one we've had around in Western Oregon, or probably Western Washington, this particular one here. But there have been tornado-like clouds reported a number of times. And in fact, the only one in Oregon that they listed that really killed anybody was in 1887. That was over in Eastern Oregon someplace.
Is that right? Well, now, in that regard, though, I think it was a report that Sam Holbrook got out, that I saw in the journal, said that he'd been able to document about 22 for the last 100 years or so, and that half of those were in the last 10 now that he could document. Well, now, is that because of better communication?
I would say so. I would say so,
In other words, probably in pioneer times they may have had them and nobody would hear about them outside of the people in that particular area.
Yeah, in fact, I had a fellow call me up on the phone and ask me if we had a record of a tornado near some little town south of here in the early 60s. And I said, well, I really didn't know that I didn't have that list close by. And he said, well, he and his brother were in a car and they saw this funnel cloud. And he looked in the paper and never did see anything about it. And I said, well, did you report it? No, and he didn't report it. And I said, well, it's actually pretty late to, to put it in the record, you know. He wasn't even sure what year it was.
If a fellow reports anything like that to you, what do? Do you check it out within a reasonable time? Do you check it out, or do you?
We try to check it out. Uh-huh. Our state climatologist, Stan Holbrook, keeps records of these things.
Yeah. Now.
And this is kind of one of his jobs, and something that's this active close by, and that maybe we should have had a better forecast for, or something, where the forecast office looks after. Checks up on it, but the climatologist is the primary man who, who keeps the record of them. And so he would check it out either by calling people and talking on the phone or going there or something.
Of course, you deal in this scientifically, but there are a lot of old wives' tales, I guess you could call them. Such things as is there anything to the story that there's a certain type of tornado weather or a certain look to the sky or that you can use as a forecast? Now, I was on the phone a little while ago with my brother-in-law who used to live in Nebraska. He said the night before he saw what they call sheet lightning. And he said, when you get sheet lightning, you're going to have a tornado. Now, is this true, or
no, I don't believe that.
You don't?
We used to see sheet lightning, what we call sheet lightning, all the time when I was a kid back in Indiana. And I always attributed that to lightning that was at a distance and would show on the clouds or in the sky, but wasn't close enough that you would hear anything from it. You know, it's just kind of quite a ways away. It would actually flick a light across the sky. That was my interpretation. Now other people undoubtedly had others, you know.
Are tornadoes always accompanied by some sort of an electrical storm or not?
I don't know whether they always are, but most of the time they
are. Most of the time they are.
Yeah.
Well, we have an interesting book here that I don't really have one of these to give to you, but I certainly you're welcome to look at it here.
Okay.
This is a fellow at the University of Chicago who's making quite a study of tornadoes. And you might want to glance at that before
okay,
you go.
Okay, before I leave.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, in this same regard of observation by the layman. At the time of the Columbus Day storm, people reported a strange appearance of the sky ahead of this storm. And this little book I did, I have a picture of it in there that this woman took from Portland Heights. And this was at sundown, but she was looking east, and the picture she got looked almost like a sunrise in the east. And other people reported this strange deep blue cast to this late sky. Then the other morning, when we got up, my wife says, gee, that sky looks funny. This is what she said, and she's a native Oregonian, but she says, I wonder. And you get this hearing of when you have an electrical storm that the sky looks kind of copper colored. Now, are these consistencies that accompany these things?
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes when you have very heavy storm, of course you get more dust and more debris up in the air, and it tends to color the sky a little bit. Now we had one report that the sky had a kind of a greenish cast on this particular.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You didn't see it yourself.
No. This was an individual, and of course other people said, talked about a very black sky, you know, gray and black dark clouds, and a couple of people talked about a dark brown funnel. And I think this was probably a regular tornado funnel. At least those people thought so. Did you run into anybody that had a picture of it?
No, I haven't yet. No.
Well, I talked with one lady who said her daughter worked in a photo place, or might have been a drugstore where they took film to develop. Somebody there brought in some films that he said he had taken pictures of.
Gee, I'd like to get track of that. Gosh, you don't know who she was or anything.
No, I don't. It was kind of funny. We stopped at a house that was damaged. Mm-hmm. Their back porch had been blown off, and their garage had been blown away. And just the stuff in the garage was sitting there, you know. The garage was all gone. Been all torn up. Linda blew in, and her daughter told about some lady who lived at a different address, who said that she had seen something. Well, we went over to see her, and she really hadn't seen as much as this girl thought. Her dog was very upset. This was the main thing. Apparently her dog was just went wild. You know,
just like a dog will do in an earthquake, I guess. They go crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, her dog was really, really upset, and she wasn't really in the area that was hit. She had she said she did see fur limbs circling down the ground from having been up high and coming down. And they don't have any fur trees in her area, so they didn't quite worry. And this is the main thing she saw, and she said they were swirling when they came down. Well, this really didn't indicate the tornado, it just indicated that they were in some sort of swirl when they came down. But she was telling me that her daughter worked, you know, and the man had said, come in and get the film with your dog, said he'd take the picture. So I thought maybe the Colombian might run in.
Yeah, that could be. If you see one in there, I mean,
chances are the guy would try to sell it.
Yeah, the chances are. Well, I would have thought that possibly from this distance you would have been able to see a funnel a lot better than up close, really.
Yeah, thing is, though, that I think that most of that storm was over this way more by the time it was doing. And I was here, and Mrs. Clark, my secretary, she and I were in here. She was taking the letter. I was sitting here, and the wind picked up and blew pretty hard here. Blew the grass, blew paper. We watched an airplane come in, bounce around. We saw a lot of lightning. But actually, I didn't either look that closely at the sky, and I didn't even dream about being a tornado. You know, this was probably just about the time that it was occurring. But we didn't hear about it right away either. You know, we don't necessarily have little feelers out, so we know when this happens. We get our reports either by people calling in, and it's hard to call this office, easily, especially Vancouver people.
Yeah.
But it's a full call. So we didn't really learn about it very quickly. Of course, half hour afterwards.
I assume you've been in weather forecasting meteorology for a number of years, and if you were in Seattle before you were here, do you feel that there's been any serious change in Northwest weather in recent years over what it used to be? For instance, we had the Columbus Day storm. We had a tidal wave on the coast as a result of that earthquake in Alaska, I guess. And we had that big flood condition in 64, I believe, or 65. We seem to be getting colder and longer winters, at least this is what people seem to feel, or extreme conditions, damp summers. Do you feel that there is a, where that the weather is changing, or do you think it's just a cycle, or what?
I can't honestly say that I have any feeling that the weather is changing particularly. When I first came out here, they talked about a bad storm on the Olympic Peninsula sometime in the 20s, which they called the big blowdown. And apparently it blew down a tremendous amount of timber up there.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and it was a storm that was very similar to the Columbus Day storm, except it had a path a little bit further west.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of hitting the valley, it hit mainly up in the Olympic Peninsula.
Then probably went back out to sea or something.
Yeah, or went on north.
Yeah.
This dissipated over Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
And in the 20s, there wouldn't necessarily have been that many people up in Vancouver Island. You know, it was much more sparsely settled then than it is now, you know. And I don't know about that, but I talked to old Mr. Fisher, who was the official in charge up at Seattle at the time, in the 20s. And apparently it was a real big storm. I guess it really blew. And probably blew down more timber than any other storm has before or since. So that was a big storm. And we've had big storms other times. Since I've been around here, I've been in the Northwest actually since about 44. And we've had a lot of bad weather in that time. But I really haven't analyzed it. But it wasn't too many summers ago. We had a very hot summer, remember? We had the most 90-degree days we ever had.
Well, this is what I meant. Are we going to extremes on these things, or as well as cold? Are we, I wondered whether there'd been any...
Well, I don't know. I don't have anything to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the climatological study would show a little bit, but I don't suppose Mr. Holbrook had anything special, did he?
No, he gave me some figures or papers, charts that I haven't really studied yet, but I mean, he didn't seem to think there was too bad.
I haven't really noticed anything.
It's just characteristic of the Northwest to be ornery, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we have our varieties, and of course the normal summer here isn't really real warm.
Yeah.
So if we get one that's a little more cloudy, well then it impresses as being quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get a warm one, of course we did have one quite nice.
Yeah.
But they had some pretty warm times. We have some record temperatures that were set quite a long ways back, you know.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather, who's dead now, but he came out here in the 70s, he used to say that the second half of the century was colder than the first half of the century. And I have read this in magazine, popular publications like Parade. And of course, we're in the second half of this century now. And it was in the latter 1890s, I think, when the Columbia froze over one winter. So I was wondering, is this the pattern that we're in? Is there any truth to that particular statement, that the second half of the century, that the Earth tips farther away from the sun or something? Or
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that, but you hear a lot of things, you know. And
well, yeah, they'll tell you the Chinese A-bomb or H-bomb here 3 weeks ago is what caused this tornado, if you want to listen to people on the streets, you know.
Well, this, any kind of anything unusual like an A-bomb or anything happens, of course, while we run into this situation, if somebody, anything you get that's unusual, somebody attributes to that.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any evidence of that sort of thing. So,
do you people feel that pollution would have any contribution to
pollution has
changes?
Some contribution to local temperatures, maybe. You know, by local I mean around the city,
yeah,
or something like that. maybe tending to make it a little bit warmer at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or things like that, but I don't know if pollution you can say is really affecting the climate that much.
I suppose that would hold true too of a devastated forest fire area such as the Tillamook Burn years ago.
Yeah.
Would have local changes, yeah. Would affect.
Do you remember that?
Well, I don't, we weren't living here then, but I worked in Forest Grove as a newspaper man for 10 or 15 years, and I remember the subsequent fires and the way it looked out there during that time, yes.
See, we used to have a lot more smoke in the fall than we do now.
Yeah.
But, when I first came out here, all the things you wrote, or you read, talked about the forest fire smoke in the fall, And we had a lot of smoke in the fall. I think they burned a lot of slash and they didn't worry about the forest fire. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there really actually enough there to affect the climate that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, the people out there in that area used to say, the old timers, that it did affect the climate. I don't know how it affected it, but they said it wasn't the same as the... It was wetter or something. I don't know what their idea was.
Of course, you used to talk about this in the Midwest, the old Dust Bowl days.
Yeah.
It may have been that the fact that it was so dry and the drought made more of the dust than the dust made the drought, you know. So it probably has some effects, but I think they're pretty small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to think in such big terms, in terms of the whole world, really, don't you? When you're forecasting weather. And
yeah, but we don't look at that being area very much.
Uh-huh. But I mean, in terms of that and those effects, something like the Tillamook Burn would be a pinpoint, really.
Yeah, it'd be pretty small.
Yeah, it'll affect a very broad area. Of course, that answers the question that this editor posed to me too. What about clear cutting, which is in the news so much today? And that again would be pretty minor, I would think.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any? Of course, you're in Seattle. I wondered if weather-wise, you see any similarities between what happened here a week ago and the big blow? Are there any, or were they two entirely different types of
storms? Yeah, they're different types of storms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. The big blow was a big storm, great big storm, and it was the wind circulating around it. So, but it affected a big area,
mm-hmm.
much of Oregon, much of Washington, this was a squall line with a number of thunderstorms in it, but the specific storms that did the damage were very small.
Of course, in that case, you could have another tornado tomorrow, couldn't you? You might not have one for 10 years. Is that in this country?
Yeah, that's right.
Takes a certain kind of conditions, does it?
You have to have, and I don't suppose we would forecast the next one either. You know, we might forecast thunderstorms, forecast gusty winds. The chances are we would never forecast a tornado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's. I would think it'd be pretty hard when they come up so fast that way. Gosh, I live in this end of town. We weren't touched. We got some of the hail, but the wind wasn't for anything special, really. We live about this way, so we must have been out for over towards Interstate Avenue. Must have been on the edge of it, you see, and not really got it at all.
Probably didn't even have any roof damage.
No, no. No, no, nothing.
This is what makes me think it had to be a very small, localized.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, did you see the area over there, the street where three houses side by side were blown down?
No, I guess I missed that.
Yeah, that was out quite a ways. It must have been out about, 63rd Northeast, across the street.
Uh-huh.
It was in a little area where they had built a bunch of houses. You know, they seemed to have that, like, over there in Vancouver, where they, there'd be a little pasture and farm country, and then they would build a little batch of houses, you know,
yeah,
which is outside the city. You know.
Gee, if they hit one of those mobile home areas in there, it would have caused a lot of damage, wouldn't it? Because those things, I can't stand the wind at all, really.
Didn't hit any mobile homes.
No, no. I'm wondering if some of this modern construction is, well, because tornadoes are a rarity here, but I mean, if they were happening very often, I would think that kind of construction really wouldn't work.
Well,
because it's just like that school, it's a roof and floor and walls, and gosh, if you let your, take your roof off, everything collapses.
Somebody said the Wehrmacht, that the roof on those things really weren't, they weren't really tacked down very hard.
No.
They kind of lay them on top.
Yeah. Just like a house of cards or something, you know. Really,
were you able to see the school pretty well, the damage you did?
I saw a little bit of it, but I really didn't get in there. I've got to go back, because I want to go down and walk through part of it.
The trouble is they clean that stuff up.
Sometimes. Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah, they're moving pretty fast on it, really.
You saw the newspaper.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I have a fairly good set of newspaper pictures over there. I must be sure and put them away someplace so I don't lose them.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's amazing the people that want you to give them stuff.
Yeah.
People call and let them know if we took pictures that they could have copies, and if we have newspaper pictures that they can have. Well, hey, I might be one out collecting all the newspaper pictures. You know, I have a pretty good set, and we'll keep to refer to, but I don't really keep
them
to give away.
Yeah. Well, so many of the government agencies, of course, I don't think they promiscuously give away pictures, but I know, I was over at the Bureau of Land Management yesterday working on another deal, and of course they have a picture service, you know, you go through their files and pick out what you want, and they print them up for you and give them to you, no charge, you know. But I think that's for anybody that's really in, you know, going to do something with it, and not just for private individuals.
Well, of course, somebody like you is free to look through our stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have very much stuff, actually. You know, I mean, we have the forecast, of course, the maps very well, but we don't have very much for a guy like you to see to get much out of unless he lives something.
Yeah. Well, picture-wise, I'm not concerned because the editor said they had all they wanted, you know. So all he wanted me to do was get the story together. I really don't even know what tact I'm going to take with it yet.
One thing that's kind of interesting is that some knowledgeable people think that there probably is more than one funnel. You know,
is that right?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. We had one lady who drew a little picture of it. But apparently the damage paths aren't just one single little straight path. They indicate there might have been more than one.
Is that unusual to have more than one
funnel? No, it's not unusual. I got a note from this lady here today. You see the little picture she drew there.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, yes.
But I had asked the Columbian to put in a paper if people saw anything special, to give me a call or write a note. Response there. So she definitely saw a funnel. But we haven't seen anybody that took a picture of one yet.
Yeah, if you could track down that one. Yeah. Well, I would think that if you put a notice in the paper, maybe you could get, unless, as you say, this individual is trying to sell them or something like that.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, of course, if they took a good pic, got a good picture of a funnel, could sell it to a newspaper.
Yeah.
And the newspaper would publish it.
Yeah.
I thought I would ask back, check back with the Columbian, because they would be the logical.
Yeah.
There,
that's right.
Of course, I don't know, but most people who take a pretty nice picture of something, it's a little different. Don't necessarily want to give everybody a copy of it. Because this is kind of like giving away something that it's a little new.
Yeah. All right, kid took that picture of the tower coming down at the College of Monmouth there and during the Columbus Day storm, you know. Gee, that thing just went all over the place, you know. Yeah, Life published it and everything.
Well, they probably paid him something.
They didn't. Of course, Life doesn't pay as much as people think they do. But he sold it to the telephone company, and I used it on my little book.